Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to this broadcast and the issue that we'll be facing today. I pray that you'll join in the dialogue and the discussion. We invite you to do so. You can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number that gets your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comments, and the dialogue on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of ideological dogma or denominational rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identifies so clearly, so succinctly, so directly what he's speaking of when he says truth. He said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me commend to you the truth of the Word of God. God's Word is the source book for every issue in your life and in mine. And as we face the issues daily on this broadcast, we like to find fundamental foundational value and direction from the Word of God. It's called having a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview simply means that we look for the answer to life's issues, some call them problems, based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus placed his faith, trust, and confidence himself in his humanity in the Word of God. You find Jesus quoting the Old Testament text over and over and over, hundreds of times. We find the Old Testament quoted in the New Testament. This is the reason it's so valuable that we look at the Old and the New Testament as a unified Word of God, Genesis through the book of the Revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to tell you today that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time, an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking for their own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment, especially like Honda generators, and having a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer all your questions about backup power equipment, especially in the hurricane season. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. It's where the gigantic 165-foot, 40-by-80 flag flies. It flies over all of this entire area of Mandarin. So look for the American flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, or simply go to toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about an issue today that I think is pretty heavy on the minds and the hearts of most Americans, or it should be. It's being bounded about today by the House and the Senate. They've even prodded and pushed and promoted the president to get involved in some fashion of gun control. And I am vitally concerned about it. I don't know about you, but as you study the Word of God, you find that the gun control is not what you'd find in the Scripture. The doctrine of self-defense, or what we call in the state of Florida the Castle Doctrine, is originated in the Word of God. You find so often people are saying, well, why should a Christian be concerned? Well, ladies and gentlemen, in Luke chapter 22, verse 38, the Scripture says, "And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough." But then when you go back to verse 36, it said, "Then he said unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. He that had no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Wonder why Jesus wanted his disciples to have a weapon. Then you go back to the Old Testament and you look at the little book of Esther, and you find where the king had been tricked into signing a document that will allow all the Jews to be put to death. When he discovered that, then he signed a new law, putting into effect the right to keep and bear arms, the doctrine of self-defense, and that was sent out to 128 provinces in that day, giving the Jewish people the authorization, when they come to kill you, rise up and kill them first. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about an act of murder from the heart. I'm not talking about something that will be devious or wrong biblically, but I'm talking about the fact that we're finding in America today all of the conversation on the drive-by media, the fake news, as well as the Democratic National Committee, and also all, not some, but all of the Socialist Democratic candidates for President of the United States. They're all pushing for that. But ladies and gentlemen, once again, we see what I call the knee-jerk reaction to the El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio shootings. Listen, I don't want to say anything to minimize, not minimizing, listen, I'm not minimizing the tragedy of those shootings. That's not the point at all. They were horrific. They were devastating. And families are still grieving and shall be for years. Our hearts go out to them. We are concerned for them, as it ought to be. But let's sit back and respond in a rational, sensible manner and not ban guns or infringe on the right to keep and bear arms, our Second Amendment. This week alone, we had a handful of socialist Democratic senators. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen to what they're doing. Socialist Democratic senators are threatening the U.S. Supreme Court. You heard me right. They're threatening the existing Supreme Court justices. They're wanting to restructure the courts because of their desire to ban gun ownership in America. Listen, it's the 4 or 5 page article. I'll just read you some little blurbs from it. It sets the stage for where we want to go today. The issue is, should we ban guns in America? Should we ban guns in America? Or better put, should America become like Venezuela? Should America become a socialist communist nation? Should America be defenseless against the intrusion of outside entities and forces and our government upon our citizens? This article says, Democrat senators threaten the Supremes. A handful of Democratic senators, those who sit in judgment on nominees for the U.S. Supreme Court, are threatening to the existence, the existing justices, in the hope that they will make decisions more to their liking or face the possibility that the court will be restructured. The threat comes in a brief filed and a gun rights case, a dispute over yet another gun rule in New York City. And it comes from Senators Shelton Whitehouse, Republican in Rhode Island, Richard Blumenthal, Democrat in Connecticut, Maisie Hanoi, Democrat in Hawaii, Richard Durbin, Democrat in Illinois, and Kristen Gillibrand, Democrat in New York. All of these senators, ladies and gentlemen, are threatening the court, the Supreme Court justices, that if you don't vote the way we want you to vote on gun bans and gun control laws, we're going to restructure you guys and water it down. Well, they've been talking about for several months now, restructuring the Supreme Court and setting it up so there are 15 Supreme Court justices and not 9. And then they want to put it on a rotating basis so that there will be certain times that the Democrats are in charge of the courts, certain times the Republicans are in charge of the Supreme Court. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court should be blind in its justice and not look at it on a Democrat or Republican basis, partisan basis. The article further says, they openly challenged the impartiality of sitting justices, noting that from October term of 2005 through October 2017, this court issued 78, 5-4, or 5-3 opinions in which justices appointed by Republicans, Republican presidents, provided all 5 votes in the majority. The leftist senators charged, quote, every single time the corporate and Republican political interest have prevailed in these cases. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not been the case at all, but I'll not debate that. Just wanted to insert that for our understanding of what we're finding on the national level today. We're finding a push as a result of the mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, to somehow, some way, control guns and further infringe upon our Second Amendment right. Now, you might ask the question, why would a pastor, preacher, theologian be concerned about gun ban or the gun issues? Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Our First and Second Amendment rights are the two most important ones. First Amendment is the right for Christians with religious liberties and freedom of speech. The Second Amendment is the right to keep and bear arms. If you do not have the right to keep and bear arms, you can just absolutely rest assured that freedom of speech will go next. Religious liberties. Any nation around the globe where you have a ban on weapons, take China, for example. Take Venezuela, for example, and any other communist socialist nation. Look at Cuba as a good example, 90 miles off the coast of America. Any of these nations that have banned weapons, they control the citizens, and as such, religious liberties, freedom of speech, are simply things of the past, not applicable and not available to the citizens in those nations that have banned weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very serious that we need to recognize the dangers that's looming on the horizon for the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole point with the group of senators, the leftists in Washington, is to threaten the U.S. Supreme Court so that they will rule in the fashion that they want them to. We do not hear any outrage from the Socialist Democrats over the mass shootings in D.C., Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, and other socialist democratically controlled cities across America. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Any one month, go back and look at it. Any month, you can calculate the deaths by shootings. And a mass shooting, ladies and gentlemen, based on the statisticians, are considered anything four or more that's killed at any given time. And so based on the statisticians' numbers of four or more being considered a mass shooting, then we have mass shootings every week, sometimes every day, in places like Detroit and Chicago and D.C. and Baltimore. And most of these cities, ladies and gentlemen, have been controlled by the Socialist Democrats for 30, 40, 50, and 60 years, and yet we still have the mass shootings. Now, if they're concerned about gun control, control them in those cities. In fact, let me just do a little footnote on that. In those cities, they perhaps have the strongest gun control laws of any places in America. And yet you find it being most prolific with gun violence, and mass murders. Why is that so? Listen very carefully, and we'll touch on this several times during the course of this broadcast today. A criminal, a thug, one that wants to commit murder, is not going to worry about any laws. If we have gun control laws and different laws, gun laws on the books today, and we'll talk about the statistics and the numbers of those, if we have those on the books today and they're not adhering to them, why should we believe that one more gun law will control mass shootings? We may be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, these cities have dozens of mass shootings. That means four more every day. Yet there's no push to ban our Second Amendment rights in those cities necessarily, though they have completely limited the gun laws that allow a person to buy. In fact, in New York City and other places like that, you can make application for a carry permit. And a year later, 2 years later, you might be able to prevail after you resubmitted your application and paid some kind of exorbitant fee time and time again in order to get that. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we should mention that these cities already have, as I said a moment ago, very stringent, strong gun laws, and the strongest ones in the nations. But you take the thugs and the criminals, the murders, the wannabe shooters, they're not going to obey a law. It's like saying, well, if we put another law in the books, then somehow, some way, these thugs that want to go out and commit mass murders, they're going to go down and look at the laws and say, gee whiz, there's another law there. I can't do the shooting today. I've got to wait until later. So tell me just how will another gun law stop violence? How will it stop mass shootings? How will it stop the needless deaths, as it is called today, in relationship to violence on the streets? Ladies and gentlemen, right here in the city of Jacksonville, we engaged a group called Cure Violence, a group out of Chicago. They tried that Cure Violence approach in Chicago. It didn't work. Chicago taxpayers spent about $6 million over about a 3 to 4 year period of time, and it didn't work. But nevertheless, notwithstanding that fact, the fact that it doesn't work, their program and process, we have engaged them under a contract about $3 million for the city of Jacksonville. And tell me how that's working, where supposedly you have former thugs, former gun violence people, former felons that are now released. They go out on the street, supposed to be able to sit down and talk with those that are going to commit violence, commit crimes, and shoot somebody. How do they know who's going to shoot who? And yet they're supposed to be spread out in our communities to go and sit down and have powwows and conferences with them so that the shootings won't take place. Well, it didn't work in Chicago. And ladies and gentlemen, may I be a prophet for a moment? It's not going to work in Jacksonville. In fact, look at the headlines of yesterday's paper. Jacksonville's already had 100 shootings now since January, 1st of January. We must go back to the rudimentary, and you've heard me say it before, we must go back to the rudimentary fundamental foundational causes of these shootings that's taking place, where a thug will walk in and shoot 3, 4, 5 people, 15, 20 people, 40, 50 people, and you can trace it back. In fact, you've heard me say on this broadcast before, you can trace it back. In every case, I've examined the last 39 to 40 of the mass shootings. Every one of them without reservation, every single one of the shooters had in his system some type of drugs, either prescribed drugs or otherwise. And yet we're being told today that we can continue to legalize marijuana. And marijuana causes all kinds of symptoms that causes an individual to see all kinds of grotesque things, to cause an individual to want to go out and commit murder or suicide. Causes paranoia and schizophrenia, and yet we're legalizing marijuana. That's another issue for another day, but that's the fundamental foundational cause. And yet we wonder how we stop mass violence. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a look at a few of the brief statistics of violence in America. I have gotten these from online, and I think the source is pretty realistic. It says America has about 327 million people, about 300 million guns. I thought that was a pretty astounding figure. About 300 million guns, 327 million Americans. About 40,000 die each year, this statistical data says. About 40,000 die each year by guns. Of that total, listen to these numbers now. And these numbers tell the story of what is happening in America and what is not taking place. Out of the approximately 40,000 gun deaths each year, 29,250 are suicide. 29,250 gun deaths. And by the way, these banned the gun advocates talk about the number of gun deaths, and they lump it all together, 40,000. Out of the 40,000, 29,250, about three-quarters of them, are as a result of suicide. Now, if a person is wanting to commit suicide, you're not going to say he's going to sit down and think, well, you know, if I take my own life, I'm committing a crime because I'm violating the law, so therefore I better not do that. It just doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, you tuned into Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you want to see us ban guns in America? Would you like to see the red flag laws? We'll talk about that in a moment. Would you like to see the red flag laws? Do we want to do what California is doing, where you ban ammunition purchases so that you can in the back door, through the back door, somehow, some way you can ban the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms? How would you like to see America 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Would you like to see America being a gunless society? Would you like to see it so that, as the Socialist Democratic candidates for president are saying, that we'll just confiscate the guns? One of the previous candidates on the socialist leftist side, Eric Swalwell, he's not a candidate now. He discovered that after having 0% followers, that he needed to just drop out. But he's the one that made the glib statement that we'll just confiscate the guns. If I'm president, we'll confiscate the guns. And keep in mind, if you don't let us confiscate your gun, keep in mind the government has nukes that we can come and get them. I thought that was the right intelligent statement on his part. Laughter, of course, meant 29,250 suicides with guns out of the total of 40,000 deaths each year. 1,612 are legal shootings by police officers that shooting back at criminals to stop crime and or to protect their own lives as the criminals shoot at them. 1,612. Now, we're talking about a total number of 40,000. Of that total number of 40,000, 29,250 are suicide deaths by guns, 1,612 legal shootings by law enforcement, cops killing criminals, if you will, 274 negligent discharge of firearms where people are not trained well enough to have a firearm, and as a result of that, they can't handle it properly, and they wind up shooting themselves, 274. Now, listen carefully. 8,863 actual murders out of 327 million people. Yet America has already over 20,000 gun laws, local, state, and federal laws. Listen now, the 8,863 are actual murders. Ladies and gentlemen, we have more deaths by way of homicide, vehicular homicide, because a person's on drugs or drinking, than that number each year. We're not banning cars. Don't hear anybody talking about banning alcoholic beverages. By the way, there's over 100 verses in the Bible that says if you're a Christian, if you're a God-fearer, as it's referred to in the Old Testament, or if you're a Christian, as we're called in the New Testament, that as a Christian, there ought not to be any involvement with the sale and or use of alcoholic beverages. And yet somehow, some way, we're not talking about banning booze in America, which many times is the trigger, along with drugs, that causes the mass murders, the mass shootings. I believe I have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, it's great to be on the air with the Black Robe Patriot again today.
Hey, thank you for calling in.
I think it's interesting to note that, you know, these folks, every time there's a shooting, the left goes nuts wanting to assault Second Amendment rights. However, this is supposed to be a nation of, by, and for the people. The left, you know, on the one hand, they want to say that Donald Trump is running concentration camps down on the border. You know, concentration camps, we immediately think about the Holocaust, right? Concentration camps. They want to say that the federal government, under the order of Donald Trump, is running concentration camps. And in the same breath, they want to tell you that the citizenry, private folks, individuals, shouldn't have the right to keep and bear arms. Somehow or another, they completely twist the entire purpose of the Second Amendment. Somehow or another, they believe that government officials ought to be the only ones to have guns. And you go, hold on a second. That's kind of, you know, that's kind of totalitarian. That's kind of dictatorial. That's kind of, you know, putting the government in such a powerful position that they could squash the people like they did during the Holocaust. So you go, yes. I mean, either these people are the most flamboyant liars, or they're as ignorant as they could possibly be.
You know, how about if we merge the two?
Yes, it seems to be true. But you know, any honest analysis would lead you to believe that gun-related homicide is actually a very small issue, you know, relatively small issue, especially if you extract the leftist-run cities like Baltimore, Los Angeles, and Chicago. You pull those out of the mix, and all of a sudden you go, we got a really, 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 really safe society. But if you include these leftist-run cities where, by the way, they got a whole bunch of gun control. Matter of fact, you go to these places, and you'll find that you can't lawfully do much of anything without 20 different permission slips from government. But they're the most dangerous cities in the United States. And you know, also, you analyze and you go, AR-15-style weapons are no more dangerous than most other rifles, and rifles are almost never used in homicides. They make up just I think as you're rolling off stats, when you get to the stat rifle-related killings, it's like an average of about 350 a year. Yet those are the first guns that they want to say that we need to pull off the market. They want to call them assault weapons. These buffoons have no earthly clue what an assault weapon is.
And Greg, listen, you might have heard the statistics just now. About 20,000 gun control laws on the books today, local, state, and national. And let's just take the number, the 40,000 that die each year, projected the profile number, 40,000, with a citizenry of 327 million. That's somewhere in the neighborhood of 0.01%. And now, 0.01%, we're not trying to minusculize someone dying by a criminal's hand, but 0.01%. And yet, you look at that percentage in relationship to the percentage of those in the number and the percentage dying by as it's called, opioids or drugs, and yet we continue to legalize drugs in America. There seems to be no concern about that whatsoever. But as one writer put it, and I'll read from my book that I'm looking at in my hand, The Doctrine of Self-Defense. It is the biblical right to keep and bear arms. One writer put it, a disarmed people are neither free nor safe. They become the prey of criminals and the plaything of tyrants. And that's exactly what we see on a global basis with what has happened down through the years and the historical events of that. But if we got 20,000 gun laws on the books, Greg, would one other gun law, maybe two, maybe 10 more gun laws, change the trajectory of what we're seeing in America with deaths by guns?
It's completely absurd. The idea that if all of a sudden a felon, all of a sudden a murderous thug, you know, some folks actually take offense to call these folks thugs. I'll call them thugs three ways to Sunday. These folks are evil, wicked, wretched folks. It's bound up in an evil heart and mind that's willing to commit all these criminal offenses, among which happens to be murder. A person's willing to commit the act of murder. Do you think they're concerned about the secondary felony offense of carrying a firearm where they're not supposed to, or owning a firearm when they're already a felon, or entering an area like a school or whatever where these things are off limits? They don't care one whit. They're willing to commit the act of murder. They say that even a person that's going after the President of the United States, a person that's willing to die in the commission of their offense, that person's very hard to stop.
That's right. In fact, I'm reading an article here that I find fascinating down in Volusia County, right here in the state of Florida. It says, Volusia County Sheriff encouraging church members to arm themselves. Volusia County, Florida, Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood wants potential attackers to know that if they ambush a church in his county, expect the congregation to shoot back. Chitwood is strengthening his county's houses of worship by encouraging leaders to arm members of the congregation. We're not going to get there. Police aren't going to get there. Police cannot stop it in time. It has to be stopped by somebody inside the church. He goes further and says, history has taught us it's an all-time body count, and that's the soft targets if they attack a church or school because people are never armed. Chitwood is encouraging church leaders to designate people to be armed in their churches during the process of their church services. I am concerned about that, Greg, when we find soft targets, and most of these places are considered soft targets, many of them. The schools, and at the one, for example, with Walmart's in El Paso, had to sign up a gun-free zone, and that's a open invitation, I believe, for these mentally deranged people that go out and do the shootings. We've got about a minute before our top of the hour break. Greg, tell us what you think about the idea of the red flag laws.
Oh, my goodness. To actually think that we can come up with a pre-crime bureau to actually stop a crime before it takes place, and the way that the left would like to stop this crime is to identify folks that may commit a crime. You know, they're going to remove civil rights before a person's committed a criminal act. Now, they want to do that based on mental deficiency. However, be very, very careful. They may very well call you as a Christian. They may say that you're mentally deficient. As a conservative, as a constitutionalist, they may one day tag you as mentally deficient. It's a very dangerous path that they'd like to have us on.
That's the trajectory that we're on, and I'm concerned because I see them badgering our president into the position of now saying that he is willing to go along with some type of further red flag laws. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But we have 17 states that already have the red flag laws, and so we need to be very, very careful with that. Greg, we've got about 30 seconds before the top of the hour break. Let me invite you to hang on and come back after our news break, and let's talk further about the red flag laws because we already have it in the state of Florida. Just in 2018, 450 people, 458 to be exact, people were deprived of their right to keep and bear arms because of the red flag laws in the state of Florida. 17 states have them. We're going to analyze what the red flag laws do, how they're written, and what can be the absolute danger of them if we allow this to be on a national level in the United States of America. We're talking about, should we ban guns in the United States of America? And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. 1 minute after the break, we'll be right back.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.